Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're live.
We're live. We made it.
My favorite words of the week.
I'm telling you, it's just so much fun when we can get together and, you know, talk about books, because when life gets all lifey, you know, we got our books.
We had an extended period since we had the holidays and stuff, and we pushed the last episode back. We pushed this one back. So though we've had things in between and we talk practically every day anyways, but still to get on here and actually do our thing is, it's nice every couple weeks.
Absolutely. It is. I'm so happy.
And
so what are we doing today?
I shared with you a recent podcast. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it on Spotify, but they're actually in the Cleveland area, the Libby podcast.
Yeah, I did. That was pretty cool.
It was really cool. And it was very validating because sometimes it's easy to get in your head and go, are we doing a good job? Like, does it look good? And then you see somebody like that, which has this big backing, you know, Libby and Overdrive are big companies, and I'm like, they talk like us, they look like us, they act like us. So it was cool.
It was really cool to see, and especially like their format and like how they were talking about their stuff. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna keep listening to them too, because they have some good stuff.
Yeah, I did like that. And following in that as well, it is the first episode of 2026, and that's our look ahead. That's our anticipated look ahead for the year. I love this episode.
I will say, I think this is getting easier to do our look aheads. I don't know. I thought this was going to be like a whole lot harder. And then once I really sat down, I was like, oh, this is going to be a really good year for, you know, books and stuff. So I'm excited.
Yeah, you were psyching yourself up for like a week where you're like, I don't even have any books for 2026. And I think we did just fine.
Absolutely. As soon as I sat down, I was like, oh, yeah, we're good. We're golden. It's going to be a good year.
We took our format from last year, so the same kind of questions and sections that we did, and we recycled it because I really like how we had it laid out last year, and we're going to do the same thing this year. And we've added in just a little bit, but mostly we're just going to talk about our overall goals, and then some books to look forward to, some books we haven't gotten to that we keep saying we're going to get to, and then just a general update on the podcast itself.
Yes, and I can just put the spoiler out there that Miss Foreign is not on this list. I promise it was like all of last year, every single thing was like Miss Foreign, Miss Foreign, Miss Foreign.
But it's done. At least
yes, it is. Yes. Now it's time to book two.
That's going to be a rolling joke with us, Miss Foreign. Mm-hmm,
absolutely.
I like it. Well, let's talk about the reading goals that we have. Obviously, we set a certain number of books that we want to get to. Life gets around here. So we're not big on numbers. You read what you read. And if you read one book a year, you read but one book a year. Just make it a good one. But what's your goal this year?
My goal this year is 30. I am actually going to take a little breather and relax a little bit more with my books. It felt like last year with 60, I felt like it was a constant rush. Like, oh my gosh, I'm reading, I'm reading, I'm reading. And there wasn't too much other stuff going on. It was just like, okay, the next book, the next book, the next book. But I feel like with 30, I may have a sweet spot because it's not a book every, you know, week. But it's two books a month. I think, well, roughly two books a month. I think it's doable.
Yeah. And you'll have, I think you'll still exceed that number, but you figure you've got 12 books that you read with a book club every year that you don't have to worry about necessarily being concerned with like, oh, what am I going to read? Well, you know, you're going to be reading these for the most part. Sometimes we get a DNF, but, the rest of the books are, you better not this year. We're changing that too. But yeah, so hopefully, I mean, it's really just like, call it 20 books that you got to come up with.
Oh yeah, that's doable. What's yours, 1,080?
No. I hit 130. Actually, it said 137 on Goodreads, but I hate Goodreads being connected to Kindle because started reading a book, it put it on my list. Or if I checked off an old book that I finished and I'm just trying to organize out my Kindle, it throws it on Goodreads. So it was actually 136. But still plenty of books. And you've been trying to convince me to go up to 125, but we're not doing that.
I'm telling you, you should do 125.
We're sticking with 100 for the same reasons that you have in a similar way. We got stuff going on, but I want to be able to say, hey, it's vacation. And I don't want to feel like because I have time off, I have to just jam books in there because I'm not working. Sometimes I just want to chill and I don't maybe not want to pick up a book at all or want to take my time reading one book. So I don't want to put the pressure on.
I think it also helps too where you can read more intentionally. Like sometimes if for example, like our book club reads, if we didn't get to them until last minute and we're rushing to read the book just so that we can read it and talk about it, are we really like giving the book like what it's supposed to have by rushing through it? So I think it's good that we're deciding to take a step back and not rush through some of these books just to make it a number, but really just, you know, live in that space for a little bit. At least I am. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live in the space for a little bit.
No, I agree. I originally, I had texted you last week. I'm like, I'm going to be more in my books, you know? So I was only going to read with my eyes the book club picks. And then everybody on Fable was talking about the audiobook. And I was just like, well, I want to hear this. So I did end up tandem. I'm only tandem reading. So I'm not, normally I'll put on my headphones when I'm working or doing something else. But I'm actually, the only time I'm reading our book club book is when I can comment on it, make notes, get in the forum. So it's been a lot of fun. And we have been chatting about this book.
Yes. My biggest pet peeve with this book, don't get me wrong, I love this book. But there's a but. You know how hard it is to go in and comment when you're like, so like for me, I am listening to it if I'm like in an idle space or like if I'm playing in my Switch, like if I'm playing Disney Dream My Valley, I'm listening to it because again, it's mindless, right? But if I'm physically reading it, do you know how many different sections of his and her there are and they're not numbered? So it's like, I don't even know where to comment.
The only thing that has been helping me, which doesn't help if you're ahead, is everybody's basically been commenting every chapter, especially Shalane and somebody else. I can't think. Oh, Megan have been commenting in each section. So I'll go in there and I'll read the comment and go, oh, okay, that chapter, that was last chapter. So then I go to the next one. But if you're ahead, good luck. And Holly said the same. Holly's a new book club member, and she was like, can you guys fix this? And I'm like, we can't.
There's no way to fix it. And it's so hard. Yeah, it's so hard. That's the only thing about this book. But I mean, like, all the twists, the turns, the eeriness, the atmosphere, I definitely am enjoying it. I'm happy this is our first book.
We're going to watch at least a couple episodes of the series together as a group, as a book club. We jumped ahead.
That's exciting.
We'll talk more about that later. But
we're just so excited about it. Sorry.
Absolutely. So my goal is 100. Yours is 30. We will do a, maybe we'll do a mid-year update and say where we're at, how we're feeling, blah, 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 blah.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Because we'll be like, hey, what did we say we were going to do?
We did that at the end of the year last year, but it was too late. So I want to do that, you know, partway through the year.
No, you're totally good.
So the next question is, what genre do you want to read more of this year? And I'll go, because as I've been reading, I started out being really dark horror, and I still read those things. Don't get me wrong. But I found that all I care about in life right now is fantasy books and like epic fantasies, you know, bigger fantasy books, but also some of, I just finished a cozy fantasy and some of those standalone fantasies that are still really good. So fantasy, I'm in my fantasy era, and that's what we're calling it. So I'll still read the other things, and I still do want to read a little more literary fiction, because I feel like those are the more intentional reads. So I'm hoping we'll slip those into the book club every once in a while. So you can make a couple.
I am excited to hear that one because somebody was not very interested in doing too much of the literary read. So that makes me extremely happy to hear that. And also I too am getting into the more a little bit more fantasy stuff. It's exciting.
I think you've always been the more grounded person with your historical fictions and a lot of personal development and some nonfiction and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there'll still be space for that. But like, it's fun to experience new things.
It is. And for me, I'm actually going to return to my roots a little bit. I have missed my historical fiction. So further when we get into, you know, everything going on, I feel like this is definitely the year for me to return back to that space. So I have historical fiction, literary reads as well, because I have really enjoyed that space last year. But I'm going to get back into my personal development. I read a little bit last year, but before I used to do like one book a month, and it's very easy to listen to different personal development books like while you're working. So I definitely have a few on my list that I am going to dig in and, you know, help with the transitioning of things and all that stuff. So definitely getting it back into that space.
I feel really drawn to those types of things at the beginning of the year, as many people do, where we're trying to get our crap together and become organized. We're going to be organized this year. And you buy 10 new journals and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And look, if it falls away, it falls away, but you're better off starting it that way than not. So who knows? I might end up picking up one or two. I wouldn't say necessarily personal development, but maybe more history or just nonfiction in general. Because I think the only nonfiction I really read is like celebrities or what
like the memoirs.
But we'll see what I pick up this year. I'm excited.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
So now we get to jump into 2026 and what we're looking forward to. And we kind of broke this down into a couple different categories. We have new releases that are coming out this year that are continuations in series that we've already started. And we've got like fully new releases from new series starters or just new standalone books that we're interested in. So we're going to start with those two sections, and I have a lot of these, so I will start us off in the series section, because it seems like every book I have this year, or every series I'm part of, and I don't know if it's just because I started so many series that I haven't finished, but, it seems like they've all got a book coming out and I'm excited to get to them. So
that's a good thing. I just don't have that many series this time around. So I'm ready to hear what you got.
Okay. I think you finish your series or you just don't read a lot of serial things, which is fine. But I'll kick it off with a series that I'm actually caught up on, which means I can pick this book up right now. It released last week, 5 days ago on the 6th, and it is the 11th book in a series.
The 11th book? That is crazy.
It's been a long journey. I only picked them up 2 years ago, and it's the Wayward Children series, the Shauna Maguire books. They're little short books.
I remember that. Yeah.
They're like 200 book pages. They always release a new book in January of the year. So this is the release for this year, and it's called Through Gates of Garnet and Gold. You know, honestly, I can't say anything. Not that I would give anything away, but each story focuses on either a new child and a world subsequent, or we visit one of the children that we're familiar with and their world. It's either a story from before they came to the home, or it's a continuation now where they're going back to the worlds. It's portal fantasy. It's technically middle grade YA, but Shauna Maguire doesn't like pull punches. Sometimes we talk about dark things, abuse or things like that. And it's done in a way that's not abrasive. So I always look forward to these books every single year. So I'll be picking this one up here really, really soon.
Okay. No, that's cool.
I think time jumps a little bit here and I will do mine because the next book that I have is coming out in May. which is the 8th book in Murderbot. Now, I'm not caught Murderbot. Up on Murderbot yet.
Murderbot.
I think I'm on book 6. So I need 6 and 7 before May so that I can read 8.
Book 1.
Yeah, you gave it 1. I'll take it.
I gave it 1. I did.
And you tried the show.
Also, I don't know if I really tried the show, to be honest. I did put it on, but it was not really grabbing my attention at the time. I'll probably do better with the show than reading the book. I still have to give it a shot. Don't try it again this year.
I think it takes a little bit of getting used to, and your sci-fi is not your space. So, So 8th book is coming out, and honestly, I don't even know what it's about, and I don't really care. I'm going to read it regardless. Murderbot has my heart forever, and I'm just interested to see where the story goes.
I love that. That's so great. You're like, you know what? I don't care. I'm just still going to read it. That's when you know it really is a good series, is that when you're just looking forward to the next release, whether you know what it's going to be about or not, you're just excited for it. I love that.
For sure.
So I have one in May, and I've mentioned it before. It feels like it just keeps getting pushed back, because it originally was that it was supposed to be released, and then it got pushed back, I think, to April and then to May. But however, I'm here for it. The Ballad of Falling Dragons. I cannot wait to read this one. This is the second installment of the Moonfall series by Sarah Parker. The first book came out in 2024, so wildness 2 years ago. Oh my gosh. When the Moon Hatched. So we got Rave and we got Khan with this multi-point of view narrative approach to expand the world of Moon's dragons, palace intrigue, and new twist on high fantasy traditions. You haven't read it yet, but you need to read this. Cool. You are in your fantasy space. You need to read this one.
I will. We'll talk about it in a little bit. It's still on the list. It's coming.
Yes.
But it sounds so good. I don't know if people are just really good at writing these little intros or whatnot, but it sounds so good.
This one, I will say, really surprised me. It was one of my top reads of, I think I read it in 2024. Was it 2024 I read this?
No, you read it in 2025 because it actually came out at the end of 24.
It was like January, February, somewhere around there. I read it. Man, time is just like gone. But I read it and I really just had to get used to the world and the magic system. But once you got immersed in there, you were just in it. It was great. I hope book 2 lives up to book 1. But, you know, me and Siri, sometimes we don't get along too well. So we're going to see how this goes. But I am looking forward to it. And it's actually, I think, one of the only books that I actually plan on purchasing this year.
Okay. They're
I don't have too many
beautiful books. So you got to have the collection.
I don't have too many. And I have the paperback, which, you know, kind of makes me feel like I have to wait for this one to come out in paperback. But it's like, no, it doesn't matter. I can get both of them.
All right. My next book is just a real quick one coming out in July. And it is the final book in the Heartstopper graphic novel series by Alice Oseman. And I don't think I'm emotionally prepared for the end of whatever may come, because Nick and Charlie are, quite frankly, I don't care if it's teen love. They are my one true love story that I don't want any queer tragedy. I don't want a single bad thing to happen. And not that bad things don't happen throughout the series, but I hope their love endures. I really need to see a proper ending for this. So I'm really excited for that one. July 2nd.
Good. Okay.
And then August, I had to think what month 8 is the third book in the Shadow of the Leviathan series, which is The Tainted Cup and A Drop of Corruption. I read A Tainted Cup in 2024, and A Drop of Corruption was one of my book trip arc reads last year. It's like a fantasy, Sherlock-y kind of feeling, mystery, fantasy crossover. Mm-hmm. And every time, it's hard to explain why I keep picking up the books, because I do enjoy them, but I slog through these things. It takes a long time to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But every time they release a new one. This one is called A Trade of Blood by Robert Jackson Bennett. I'm excited. And I'm like, oh, that's got to go on the list. I can't wait to read that. Then when it comes out, I have a prediction that I will start it and go, this one's going to take a minute. And just slowly, now I'm hoping with my approach to books this year, where I'm not trying to pressure myself or anything, I'll take my time with it and maybe I will enjoy it more. I've always given these books 3.5, 4 stars. I may have even given the first one a 4.5. So I think it's going to be a good book, but it can be a bit much. So that one comes out on August 11th. I don't want to do what we did last year. I don't want to hype up a book and then I don't love it. So I'm keeping it tame.
Yep. That's all you have to do. Keep it tame and just give it a try. Like, I don't know. I definitely think mine, I'm putting it to expectations, but we'll see what happens with.
Exactly. What do you got? You got one more in the month of September, which it's on your list, but it's really mostly my book, but I'm going to let you say it.
It is your book because I don't know how I feel about this book, Stu. So the book that I put on here for Caleb, not me, for Caleb, is The Knob in the Moon, which is Rachel Gillick's sequel to The Night in the Moth that we read with the book club last year. It was definitely, I don't remember when it was. I feel like we read it in like summertime.
We read it, I think, in May.
I feel like that was way too early. I think I was way too early to read it. I think maybe it needs more of like a fall type of thing to read it, maybe. Maybe I would have enjoyed it more in the fall, but it just wasn't a summer read for me. However, Caleb is definitely looking forward to this sequel. I'll give it a try. I have to reread the other one first, but I'll give this one a try.
It's one of the only, we're going to call romanticy books. It is a romanticy. It's one of the only romanticy books that I'm really looking forward to. And I think she's one of the only romanticy authors that I feel does justice to the sea part of it with fantasy. I think the world building and the magic system that Rachel Gillick does make it such a strong fantasy. And then, yes, you have a romance plot line that's really equal with the fantasy world. But she just does a really good job. And I'm excited. It will not be a book club pick. No one is forcing anyone to read it in a month. I'm for sure going to pick it up there. Maybe towards the end of the year. I do agree that it feels like late fall, early winter. I don't know what it is about it, but I'm really hoping this one brings it home. She writes duology, so I think it's the last book in the series, and then who knows what she's got up her sleeve.
I'm pretty sure it's something else. I still have to read Two Twisted Crowns. I never finished it. I never even started it.
Me and Rhea are upset with you because we were obsessed. We were obsessed with that book, and I still am. Emily hasn't read One Dark Window. It's right there. I can see it.
I can see it.
She got it. We already have it on Kindle and audio. So she got it in the library. And I'm like, you know, you can return to the library. We have it. But she's been killing books this year already. She's already knocked
out
a really big fantasy, The Raven Scholar. And she just knocked out a romance in like a day. So.
Oh, that's really good.
I don't know what she's going on to next, but she's loving it. She's doing real good.
That's awesome. I haven't finished a book yet. It is the 11th, and I haven't finished a book yet.
You have time.
I do, but it's just
what isn't hers quickly.
I am, actually. I think I only have maybe 2 or 3 hours left on that one. So I do plan on finishing that one really soon, but I'm going to finish Oathbound. You know, that's something that I could probably put in this segment necessarily for series, but it doesn't have anything coming out for release for a while. But that is something I am working on series wise.
I like it. So now we're going to move on to just our general new releases, books that have caught our attention. Either we watched BookTube, we read articles, you know, this is an author that we like, whatever the case may be. So these are new books on our radar for 2026, and I'm going to let you kick it off.
Yeah, because I think I might be actually owning this space this year.
Thank you.
Which is different. And I don't even plan to read that many books, which is the funny part. So the very first one, we're already reading Alice Feeney, His and Hers, and we also read Beautiful Ugly. I think I am a true Alice Feeney fan. I don't know. I am really enjoying her work. I had to put her new release on here. It comes out on the 20th. It's My Husband's Wife, and it's a thriller. Hello. Psychological suspense. Absolutely here for it. I love them. So this one just, I did something a little bit different this time. I added a little bit of a blurb to, you know, some of these releases, just in case somebody might be interested in reading them. But for this one, Eden Fox has returned home from her morning run, and she finds another woman in her house that looks just like her, and her husband actually says that it is her.
It just, whoa, so crazy.
Yes, like, how is that even possible? So I'm here for it. I cannot wait to read that one. I didn't even know that we could have added it to our Book of the Month box. I missed seeing that you could have added it. And I'm like, man, I missed it. And I added and I got the Ashley Elston one, Anatomy of an Alibi. I got that one because I wanted to get my book sleeve, but I was not really excited for it. I really wanted My Husband's Wife, but I was like, why is this not a Book of the Month pick? Clearly, it's an add-on. I'm so upset that it was an add-on and I missed
it. Yeah, and it's because it comes out at the end of the month. They were doing it as an add-on. But yeah, I definitely saw it on there. You could grab it up. Well, you could grab it with,
so angry.
Grab it with your February book.
Yes, I plan on it.
All right, I'm going to go next. And let me tell you, this one came out of nowhere. And of all the books on here, like, I'm excited for every one of these. But this is one that maybe I can't tamping down my expectations because I know nothing about the author. I have never heard of this book before, but the more I read the full synopsis, which I'm not going to give you everything, I'm going to give you a little blurb, but the full synopsis, let's just say this thing's got vampires and monsters and it is technically in a historical setting. Here's the blurb I have.
Not my
history. A devastating love story, a bewitching twist on history, and a blood-drenched hunt for purpose, power, and redemption. It's definitely got some feels of like early Dracula type of thing with this monster. They don't ever call a vampire, but I believe it is a vampire. And then there's going to be demons and magic and everything else. And it's a proper epic fantasy. And it's a standalone, I believe. So I can't believe it. It's The Red Winter by Cameron Sullivan. And it comes out on 2/24. So February 24th. I cannot wait. I think this is a 5-star prediction for me. I'm going to be real mad if not.
Well, you know, you can't just say it's a 5-star prediction. You've got to give it some space.
No.
You're like, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I am hooked. I am so excited for this book. And I promise you, I didn't know about it before 4 days ago. I saw it on a BookTuber. And they kind of alerted me to it. I've never heard of this author, Cameron Sullivan. So I'm going to continue. I'm going to look up and see if there's some other books. But I only have a couple, like a month to wait. So I'll be picking that up like day one.
I believe it. A lot of mine I plan on picking up, especially these next few. So the next one I have is With Love from Harlem. It's by Rashonda Tate. And it comes out on January 27th. It is historical fiction, and this is why I think I am getting back into historical fiction. There's just so many. This one has been on my radar. It's a story inspired by Harlem jazz performer Hazel Scott and the relationship that changed her life. She became an advocate for civil rights, breaking barriers, and refused to play by the rules. It really delves into her relationship with Adam Clayton Powell Jr. I'll be honest, I don't remember these characters. I haven't heard of these, you know, moments within, you know, that space necessarily, but I am still excited. So this one, she must decide whether to choose her music or her family and what she's willing to lose, as well as what she refuses to give up.
That is an Ashley book, if I've ever heard it.
Absolutely. I mean, hello, you have to read it. You have to read it. It's going to be phenomenal.
I do not have to read it.
You're like,
you don't want to read my vampire historical fiction. I don't want to read your jazz historical fiction.
Nah. We'll stay on the side.
Yeah, we there's a line in between this on the screen, everybody. It's there for a reason. She stays on her side. I stay on my side. So, no.
I have some good ones.
interesting, but just not one that I could see myself picking up. Not that I wouldn't enjoy it if I picked it up, but it's not a Caleb book.
You know you want to read it.
You got me with Untethered. I'll give you that. But we did away with the buddy challenges, so you're not going to get me to read that one.
Yes.
All right. My next one comes out in March 3rd, and it is called Green and Deadly Things by Jen Lyons. Oh. The cover, I can't wait for you to see this episode because you don't see a lot of the covers beforehand. You see it when I do the editing and everything, but it's a really pretty cover. And it says, for fans of S.A. Chakraborty, Robin Hobb, and Martha Wells's Witch King, a page-turning standalone fantasy of necromancy and magical mayhem from Jen Lyons, the acclaimed author of The Ruin of Kings. Never heard of that book? You had me at necromancy. And the further plot points for this book talk about basically necromancy was kind of what brought about a ruin of this world. And then there are these other, so the knights are kind of in charge. There are these undead wizards that used to wield this necromancy that have gone away. Well, they kind of lie in wait and they know where one of them is. It's right under the knight's fortress, and somebody needs to wake up that knight or that the undead wizard in order to fight against the wild magic that's kind of taking over the world. So it sounds really good. I think there's going to be a romance subplot, but I don't think it's going to be technically a romantasy. I'd say that it's probably going to be pretty fantasy heavy, and then it's going to have a little romance to it. So I cannot wait. Never heard of this author, but the cover's gorgeous and it sounds like a wild ride. And I'm in my fantasy era. So here we go.
It just goes along with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one I have, another historical fiction.
Oh, who would have guessed?
This one is an absolute must read. As soon as I found out that she was releasing a new book, I just had to immediately put it on here. There's actually a couple of them. I don't know. Like I just said, I just feel like this is the year because now that I'm sitting here, I realize I forgot to add someone to the release list. So when Caleb goes, I'll be adding my next one because I clearly forgot a very important one by doing this.
On the fly. Look at you.
Yes, on the fly. Like I'm telling you, 2026 is the year. But this one is by Sadiqa Johnson. She is known for Yellow Wife and House of Eve. I think we briefly spoke about those on like previous episodes a long time ago. Yeah. But those were definitely 5-star reads for me. This one, this one explains the legacy of mixed race children in Germany and the following of the fates of several characters over time. So this one includes a black soldier in World War II, a lonely high school girl in 1965, and a woman with a vision. So I am just really eager for this one because, again, it's within a different setting. Something about Germany during that time with World War II is very... it's like a space I feel drawn to with reading. I don't know why, but it's definitely a space that I do like. And the fact that Sadiqa Johnson is doing this, chef's kiss. Can't wait.
It's going to be
5 stars.
You're not allowed to do that.
Oh, it's going to be 5 stars. Anything Sadiqa Johnson writes is absolute 5 stars. Everything.
You know, everybody kind of has their, you know, they make a lot of jokes about like men being obsessed with the Roman Empire and blah, blah, blah. Emily is obsessed with like Greek mythology. I have never had that, but the other day I started thinking randomly and my mind was just kind of flew to like Nagasaki and Hiroshima and World War II. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, I've watched 2 40-minute documentaries on YouTube about the bombings and I know more than I could probably have told you ever in my life. And so World War II does draw me. I could see that being my target historical fiction thing. And this one does sound very interesting because it does have, I actually recently heard that during the war, there were a significant amount of biracial children born, specifically between black soldiers and German women. And
yep, because of soldiers. Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to read it.
After you read it and you give me the rundown, I may actually pick it up. It may be one of those literary reads that I go for.
This one, like I said, I am uber duper excited for. And I did get the ARC a long time ago with NetGalley, but I wanted to wait. I didn't want to read it too soon. I will actually probably start reading it after this one. Yeah. After His and Hers. I'll probably pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Excited.
Oakbound just might have to wait because I just realized I have it. I could read it now instead of having to wait.
Well, I look forward to hearing about it. My book comes out on 3/24, March 24th, and it is a new series starter by Mark Lawrence called Daughter of Crows. The cover, Mark Lawrence's covers, I don't know who's doing them, but they look so good. It says, the survivor of a brutal academy must exhume her own past in the first book in a new series from the international best-selling author of the Library Trilogy and the Broken Empire series. So this author is The Book That Wouldn't Burn. That's the Library Trilogy. Love that series. Yeah, it has some quirks to it that I, you know, kind of had an issue with in the later books. That first book was like, I was like, this is the kind of world I want to be in. The little epitaph, it says, set a thief to catch a thief, set a monster to punish monsters. I don't know if that's all they put on the book, I'd pick it up regardless. Honestly, I don't want to know everything about these things. I only want to know.
I think the blurbs are more exciting.
They are.
I don't need to know
character names and how their dynamics. I'll find that out when I read the book. I just want to know, am I vibing with it? And this, I'm vibing with this.
Hey, that punchline tagline there definitely sounds like a Caleb book. I'm just saying.
It definitely does.
All right. So we're on to my next one. I got lots of good ones. Well, at least
I see you adding
ones
down here at the bottom. It's going to be a long segment.
I'll make them short. The next one, Where the Wild Flowers Grow by Tarah Shelton Harris. This one, the book was called like Summer in Savannah or something like that. And that was the first book that came out. The one that I read was actually Long After We Are Gone. And the characters in this story was just amazing. It just felt like you were there. And you connected with each one of them. They were written so very well. Like how you like Bachman and how Bachman writes their characters.
Yes.
That's what I got from this one with Tarah Shelton Harris. So I am really excited for reading Where the Wild Flowers Grow. Try saying that super fast. It comes out February 17th. And this one I did try to get an arc of, but I could not get this one. So I know it just must be that good. So this one centers on a deeply traumatized woman who finds hope and healing at a flower farm in rural Alabama. This novel explores grief, shame, and abuse, but it celebrates the slow and steady power of courage and human kindness.
Ashley book.
I was just about to say, AKA Ashley book.
Yeah. You get those trigger words like power. You're all about, especially female empowerment. Yes. And then just like the human spirit. So, Ashley book.
Yeah, that's why I said
I wouldn't be surprised. It's probably going to end up on Oprah's list, or it's probably going to end up on a Reese book club pick, or Jenna, or somebody. It's going to end up in one of those celebrity lists.
This one might be a Jenna pick. I noticed that some of the books that the Jenna club is reading would be that. Reese's books are more usually like romance and thrillers. I feel like that's more of Reese.
Reese is kind of all over the place, but Oprah, I feel, always has books that are kind of in this space as well. So we'll see.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see.
Since you have so many, do you want to go one more and then I'll do one?
Yeah, sure. So the next one is also in February. It's February 24th for this one. It's called Kin by Tayari Jones, known for her novel American Marriage. Really, actually, a good novel. I enjoyed it. She has written another one that centers around two lifelong friends whose worlds come together after they were gone for many years apart. Both of them were raised very differently. So they grew up together and then, you know, completely different lives. One went to Spelman and the other was actually abandoned by her mother. So it's a story about that mother-daughter relationship. Friendship and sisterhood and the complexities of being a woman in the American South. Ashley Book.
Wow. You've got a lot of heavier book. Not heavy necessarily, but you got a lot of like heavy on your heart, thought-provoking books. So
I don't know what it is. It's just like these are the books that are just coming out. And I'm like, well, I guess this is what I'm going to really put in here because clearly it is.
Did you say the title? I'm sorry.
Yes, it's called Kin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I missed that, but.
No, you're good.
I'm interested to hear how you like that one. That one doesn't pull me. Spelman mm-hmm. College always interests me. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
College and university, but it's not me. It feels a little like it could end up being a book like The Lion Women of Tehran. I think I would mm-hmm. probably still enjoy it. So if it were to end up on a book club list or something like that, I could see myself taking it.
It just might.
It could. It will put it on the poll. I don't mind some of your books being on the polls, because if mm-hmm. they do win, like I said, I do want to do some more historical and literary fiction. That's where I want them. I want it to be a book club pick,
So he's saying that my books are actually really good book club picks. That's what Caleb's saying.
They are. Your books are good book club picks because they have great discussion posts.
Mm-hmm.
And we can all pull something different out of it. And I think that's the best part of a book club, is just everybody sharing how they took
Absolutely.
The book.
I love it.
this one that I have is coming out in April 28th. Mm-hmm. And it is a new book by T.J. Klune called We Burned So Bright. It is a heart-wrenching standalone novel by T.J. Klune. We Burn So Bright follows an older queer couple on an end-of-the-world road trip. So, obviously, T.J. Klune writes all his books. They're always queer-coded. He is a queer man himself. And I absolutely love The House in the Cerulean Sea and Under the Whispering Door and In the Lives of Puppets. And I can just go mm-hmm. on and on and on. So, the last book I read from him was actually a similar kind of sci-fi fantasy book that had a lot of heart to it. It was self-published and then republished, and I grabbed that up. I did enjoy it, but it felt less polished. And so I'm hoping this will be the kind of story that we get more polished, and it's going to elicit those same emotions that I get from some of the other books I've read from him. He will always be an auto-read author for me. I will pick it up probably in a book of the month. I can see that happening, and add it to my collection because his books are just phenomenal. I cannot wait for it. So April 28th, We Burn So Bright by T.J. Klune.
I was about to say, that's definitely one of your authors that you do definitely automatically pick up as soon as you see that they're releasing one. That's definitely one of your go-tos.
I got to the sequel to The House on the Cerulean Sea in the month it came out. I got to the new one that released last year that came out right away. It's one of those where, a lot of times you're so excited and you pick up the book, but then maybe you don't read it. His books are always so comforting that I have no problem picking them up right away. So
I'm
looking forward to that one. And most of my books are actually in the first half of the year. I see a lot of yours are in the most first half of the year, but I think we're going to be moving into the latter part of the year with these next couple books. So
yeah, I actually have, so I only have two more. Let me see, because I just added. Yes. So I only have two more. The ones that I initially put, I have just finished. But however, Kennedy Ryan, Caleb, how did I forget Kennedy Ryan?
When is this the sequel to Real?
Yes. The sequel to Real, it's called Score. My goodness, I just loved Real. The story just felt so authentic. I guess that might be the best way to put it. It was original. It was definitely very good. This one is it's a part of the Hollywood Renaissance series. Now, remind you, I just pulled this up on Google really fast because how did I forget Kennedy Ryan? Hello. But it focuses on Verity Hill. And write Monk Bellamy. So it's a second chance romance about Black art. And it actually has some LGBTQ representation in there. And it's set to release on May 19th with the publisher Forever. I mean, I don't know if anybody needs that part. But however, her books always touch on mental health and real things that are going on like right now. So I'm really excited for this one. I don't know how I missed this. I don't know how I missed it.
It is a little historical, right?
It does have a little tiny bit of historical to it, but it really doesn't feel historical when you're reading it. Okay. So it's within that Harlem Renaissance period, but it's not Like when you're reading it, it doesn't feel like it. It okay. feels like modern day, which makes it so unique because, yes, it's set in that time, but oh my goodness, so great. So, so great.
Emily will hopefully pick it up mm-hmm. because I have suggested it and she loves Kennedy Ryan. So mm-hmm. we shall see.
I was going to say that was the only one I think pulled on my heartstrings a little bit. It didn't cry, but it did have like really sweet moments where I was like, oh, it was kind of pulled on my strings a little bit. No tears dropped though.
I don't know. We might get some tears out of you this year. You got a lot going on, so you might be more vulnerable. So
I don't know. It might be. It might happen. I don't know.
So my last book is actually one of the literary fiction books that mm-hmm. I'm excited about. And you guys, I don't do a lot of literary fiction. When I do, just mm-hmm. know that they're going to be just impact. And so one of yes. those, one of those authors is Emily St. John Mandel, and that is the author of Station 11 and The Glass Hotel and Sea of Tranquility. So they're all these, they're books that are literary. They are fantasy and speculative in some nature, and they usually span hundreds of years, and time and is always a part of it. And this book doesn't appear to be any different. So from the best-selling author of Station 11, Exit Party is Emily St. John Mandel's new mind-bending story of crimes committed and loves lost across space and time.
Oh.
It, the way that she wrote Station 11 is so good because it starts and then things take hold and years pass. And you're talking about spacefaring years. You're on a different planet or something like that. And it comes full circle at the end of it and kind of starts with a Shakespeare play and ends with a Shakespeare kind of moment. And so she's just such a fantastic author. I will always pick it up. Now, I have not finished Sea of Tranquility. I did start it. I'll have to restart it. And I haven't done Glass Hotel, but I own them all because I know I'm going to love them. So this one comes out September 17th.
You know, that one kind of sounds interesting.
I think it's the kind of sci-fi that doesn't uh-huh. feel so heavy in the sci uh-huh. part of it. And I think you could probably get down with that. I would say mm-hmm. Station 11 is the most accessible. It does jump around. And I think that's where some uh-huh. people end up having issues with it. But I'd say check out Station 11. And if you like that one, we can talk about some of the other books. Because again, they're beautifully written. I mean, beautifully written. But mm-hmm. they can be a bit confusing when you've got...
So... Okay, I just found it on Libby. Okay, just because I'm curious. I am. I'm curious on that one. Thanks.
Awesome.
We'll see. We'll see. You know, it's not too often where I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. And it's a Caleb book. So, yeah.
You know, likewise.
This next one is actually near and dear to my heart because it's actually about a very important moment in Oberlin. And as most of our listeners know that we are from Oberlin, we graduated from that space and, you know, lived there and all about Oberlin. So this one is actually by Vanessa Miller, who is a must read for me. And it's been on my radar, but going through the list, I did not put it on there. And I don't know how I managed to miss it. But again, it has been on my radar since she released just the tad bit of it last year. But this one again is a historical novel. I guess this is just the space I'm living in for this year, and I'm perfectly okay with it. But it's inspired by Black women activists Mary Church Terrell, Anna Julia Cooper, and Idea Gibbs Hunt. It's set to release on October 11, 2026. And it's actually about how Oberlin College, like it's actually based in Oberlin College, and how they were the first women that actually attended there. So I'm really just really, really excited. Like I said, it's near and dear to my heart. Just the lives and everything that they went through in that space of Oberlin. And I think one of the libraries there are actually named after one of these women as well, too. So I'm ready for it.
That's exciting. I know you keep trying to get me to read that one.
Yes.
That one feels a little, even though it's close to home, mm-hmm. it feels a little too historical for me. But
Well, she doesn't write them where they feel too historical, which is a great thing about Vanessa Miller, is that she makes them feel more fiction than more so actually like historical. Some of the other novels that she had, The Filling Station, she actually made, so she, what was it? It was, I can't think of the name of it. I just drew the biggest blank. Help me out. Tulsa Massacre. There we go. I wanted to say Boston for some reason. I don't know. But Tulsa Massacre.
Wrong massacre.
Exactly. Like Black Wall Street. That was a huge thing. She actually wrote American Queen, which was about the first Black woman that was actually considered a queen here, and how she helped everyone rebuild their lives after they were emancipated. So, I mean, just all kinds of different stories that she writes. And it definitely doesn't feel like you're reading a history book. It's more so that you can sit down and cozy up with these books because they're so, I wouldn't say action packed like Red Rising or anything like that, but it definitely has the emotion with it. It has the drama, I'll say, is probably the best way to put it. And they're just really good books. They actually read like, they kind of read kind of like Untethered, that same kind of vibe necessarily with it. I would say they're very similar.
Okay. Well, if it ends up in a poll and it ends up winning, sure.
I'm going to make sure it wins. I'm going to make sure it wins.
You tried that. How's that going along with Poppy War?
Nobody wanted to read it.
It's too much.
It might still hit the poll. I don't know. It might still hit the poll. Fantasy won like a little tiny smidgen.
It did have a little sliver.
One person had a little tiny sliver of fantasy. So that gives me hope. Gives me hope.
That's funny. All right. So the next section is 2025 releases that we just didn't get to. And we don't need to talk about why we didn't get to them.
Mm-mm.
Things came up.
Or so, they just weren't. I would say maybe not that things came up. Because some of mine, I will say, it wasn't the right time.
That's fair. Yes. I have a couple on here that I never even attempted to get to.
Mm-hmm.
They were on my radar, but I have reasons for it. So we'll kick this off and we'll bounce back and forth. We can take turns here. So my first book is Isle of the Ember Dark by Brandon Sanderson.
Of course.
It came out. Of course. You thought you were going to get through a whole episode without me saying that man's name? Forget it. It came out in the summertime, and it is a book that chronologically in the Cosmere universe is set the furthest in the future. So I've got books to get through this year before I take care of that. But I'm hoping to have it. It's a tropical planet, and it's got these birds that are kind of connected with these local indigenous people, and that's how the magic is kind of based. So it feels like a summer read. I feel like it's going to be great in the hot heat, that tropical setting, maybe when we're on vacation. So I'd like to get to these other books, and then I'll get to that. What do you got?
I have Onyx Storm. I picked it up a couple times, Rebecca Yarros. I picked it up a couple times, but I was just, set it back down. It wasn't the right time. Plus, I want the rest of the other books first.
That's your thing. You love to have a book waiting.
Yeah. I don't like to wait for the book because then you got to go back and you got to reread because the Kindle summaries are not that great. So you're like, well, wait, what happened? So I'll just wait. I'll wait until I know at least when the next book's coming.
That's fair. My next book is one I think that was deserving to be read last year. I just didn't get to it. It's Sunrise on the Reaping by Suzanne Collins. It's Haymitch's story. And I've heard it's unbelievably emotional. And
it's on my list.
I'm here for it.
It's on my list, but I have to get through. So I did get through the first 300 games. I read the whole series. I still have to read Ballads, Songs, and Birds, and Snakes. That would
there
called?
It is.
It's long. That one. I have to get through that first before I get to Sunrise on the Reaping.
I disagree. Watch the movie. I watched the movie. I didn't read Ballads of Songbirds and Snakes. I'm not as interested in that one, especially now that I've seen the movie. I'm not really interested in reading it, but I do want to read Sunrise on the Reaping before I watch
that. Gotta read Haymitch's story. Gotta read. Yeah, I mean, just sure. With me, with this one being so fresh for me, this is one I will do 2026. We got one in common.
And we can read it at the same time.
You'll just leave me.
That is true. You start now, I'll catch up.
All right. The next one I have is a personal development one for me. So I have Strong Ground by Brené Brown. It's actually a book that is all about leadership. So a lot of Brené Brown's books talks about vulnerability, shame, like she's actually within the social work field, which is perfect. And I really enjoy her work. She's got Daring Greatly, little like shameless plug kind of stuff in there, I guess is what I call it. But I'm also doing this because I want you to read her books. But The Gifts of Imperfection is also a really good one too. Okay, I'm done.
I wouldn't mind one of those in terms of a kind of personal development, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Her books are so good. Her books are so good, Caleb. I really do. Like, that's one that I, anytime she has something that comes out, I always make sure that I read them because they're always really good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My next book is one that you are familiar with, and it is Wild Dark Shore by Charlotte McConaughey.
5 stars.
And you loved it. Everyone I know that read it loved it. I don't think it won the Goodreads Choice Awards, but it was up there.
It was. It was actually a Reese's Book Club pick, too, for November, I think. November, October. Yeah.
It has a mystery element to it, but it's also very literary and written apparently very well. So looking forward to that one.
I might put that one on a book club poll. I read it, but I think that one would be a good one for book club. My pencil that one.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, I'm going to put that one on there. I don't know, maybe like summertime, but definitely we'll put that one on there. My next one is Cursed Daughters by Owinkin Braithwaite. This one I did start, but however, there was a couple other things that I had to get to, so I set it down.
It's a beautiful cover.
It is. Actually over here with me now.
All right. My next one is one that I've been saying I was going to read. I actually started it in February last year, and I never got around to it. It is Water Moon by Samantha Soto Yimbao. And she actually has a new book that's coming out this month or at the very end of this month or the beginning of next month that just looks absolutely gorgeous. And another book that I just want to have on my shelf because it's so gorgeous. So I was like, it's not in like a series or anything like that. Water Moon is a standalone. And I do want to check it out. So I'm going to get to it this year. I'm hoping to get to it this year.
I did not know that she had another, but I sure am. I did not know that she had another one coming out. I really enjoyed The Water Moon, and I actually, you really should pick it up now because it's the perfect winter read. It really is. It's just that cozy type of feel to it. But this one is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
Oh my goodness. What is it
about? She has those covers with clouds on them that are just so beautiful and like sunsets.
Why didn't you put this on your list? A magical train appears to lost souls where Raya meets Q and discovers wonders, but must confront a stowaway whose dark magic threatens to destroy everything. Hello. That's a book that you sent to me, Caleb.
I thought you were already aware.
No, I didn't know.
Okay, well, put it on your list.
It is. It's on my list.
I'm actually maybe... She has these premises that just sound so interesting, and it's somewhere between, so there's a lot, they're romance heavy, which is probably what puts me off a little bit, but it's somewhere, so Asian culture has a lot of what they call healing fiction, and I feel like there's elements of that in these books, so I do want to check it out. Gorgeous covers, pretty well written from what I hear, so I'll check it out. I'll probably get to both of these. I might get to the new one before the old one, but I do want to do Water.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, definitely. And that's another space I probably should have added on there. But that healing fiction space, I really like that one, too. It's just it's a perfect read. Yeah.
It's low everything. It doesn't take an investment. And it feels like you get left with more than you left it. So
exactly. I love it. It's a hit, definitely. My next one, I started it, but I actually put it down. Like, This seems to be the trend with the books that are in here. I did attempt them. But Wally Lamb, The River is Waiting. This book, because I'm a mama, it pulled on not only heartstrings, but it pulled on some nerves. Yeah. And I was so upset with the main character and everything that he was going through. But I understand that's what, you know, the author was trying to do. But I mean, it's written so well. I'm going to have to finish it. But I got to find the right time. Got to find the right time. We might have to read that one together. I know that was one that you had. We might have to read it together because I don't know. I need a buddy on that one, I think.
Definitely feels like, again, another book club option. So it's accessible because it's not brand new. So we don't have people waiting for library picks or whatnot. Well, hopefully not too bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we could throw that on the list here, maybe March.
Okay.
So
I like it.
We'll check that out. And then finally, a book that has plagued me. Because I purchased it at the end of 2024 when it came out, and I was ready for it. I was like, whoa, I don't know what this book's about. It's a fantasy. It's got dragon on the cover and a moon, and it's gorgeous. And it's When the Moon Hatched by Sarah A. Parker, and I will get to this book this year.
You will get to this book, even if I have to make you sit there and throw the book on you and say, read this now.
Yeah, I got to get to it. I got it. Emily thinks that I'm not going to love it because it is very romance heavy, but
but it doesn't feel like too much. It doesn't feel like too much, though. And, you know, for me to be able to make it through, it wasn't. It does have it in there. Yeah, it does have it in there, but it's not like, oh, God. You know, where it's just too much and you're constantly putting the book down. You know, I think it's not like that. It's not. Okay. My last one, I believe we actually have in common as well. It's funny. We got a lot of books in common that we didn't get to.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen very often at all. I feel like we need to like frame this or something like, hey, we got books in common. But this next one is Emperor of Gladness. This is one that I remember you actually mentioning that you wanted to read. It's by Ocean Vuong. If I'm saying that correctly, I believe I am.
It's Vuong.
Vuong. I'm sorry. Thank you. But I'm very interested in reading this one. I've heard a lot of great things about it. So might be a book club thing.
Just returned On Earth, We Are Briefly Gorgeous, which is a shorter book by Ocean Vuong. And it wasn't meeting the mood. I have a stack of books from the library and other books and stuff. And I kept looking over when it was time for my next read and it just never called to me. So I decided rather than try to push through it and make it fit to pick it up when I'm.
Yeah. That's the only thing. That's the beauty about reading. You just got to pick it up when it's time. I mean, look, I had Wayward on my shelf for 3 years before I picked it up. And that was only because we're like book club. And I was like, oh, I can put this on the book club thing.
It is a book that I know I'm going to love. It is an author that I know I'm going to love their writing. I got to get to it when I'm ready.
That's how I feel about Covenant of Water. It's not a 2025 pick, but it was really good. It was really, really good, but I just couldn't finish it. It's one of those that you just have to make the commitment to. I mean, that book is like huge.
That is your 2026 Mistborn.
It might be. It's very much possible. It might be.
All right. This next section is our last section of books. It's called A Book That You've Had Forever and Are Determined to Read This Year.
Yes.
What do you got?
The Love Songs of W.E.B. Du Bois. That one is absolutely at the top. It is going to be my February read. It may take me all of February, but it is going to be my February read. I definitely want to read that one. It's been on my list for the past 3 years.
Let's commit to something right now. I'm throwing this out. You do the Love Songs of W.E.B. Du Bois. And I am going to, for the second year in a row, try to finish Go Tell It on the Mountain by James Baldwin.
Let's do it.
All right.
It's literally sitting right here on my shelf, like right now. It's here. I'm going to do it.
Black History Month, two absolutely giants in African-American literature. So I think we should do it.
I'm saying we're doing it. February, it's on. We'll have a book chat about it.
Yes. My book is Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo. Mm-hmm. And this is actually like a branch off, a connected story from Shadow and Bone series that okay. I never got around to. I've had it forever. Emily bought it for me. And I do, it's a thief, a heist story with a mm-hmm. small group of thieves. And I do want to check it out. So we're going to get to it.
Isn't that a Netflix series?
Six of Crows isn't, but Shadow and Bone is, yes. But you see the
crew.
I think I started
Shadow of Bone, actually.
It got canceled, so that really sucks. Mm-hmm. I do want to read that series because Leigh Bardugo is so great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, there's actually, I thought it was just a duology. It's called Six of Crows, and then the other one is like Crooked Kingdom, I think, or something.
Okay.
But there's going to be a new book in Six of Crows kind of series, so it's still the group, I guess. I don't know how the dynamic ends in that one, but
okay.
I was like, well, I guess I got to pick it up now because I got to see what the hype's about.
Okay, I'm all for it. My next one, I kind of combined as in like two of them. They're not, however, related in any way, shape, or form, but I don't have the physical of this one, but I have the physical of the other one. So The Poppy War, I am reading that book, that series, however, this year. And I'm also reading Priory of the Orange Tree, that series, this year. It's going to happen. I know they're both two really big commitments, but I want to read them. I keep saying I want to read them. And I did even start Priory. I did.
Not just the book, but the series.
Well, I don't know about the series. If I just get the first book, then I'll be happy.
That's fair.
But I had to. I don't know why I put them in here. Like when I was writing, I put them in as like one line. I don't know why I did that, but maybe because I really want to get to them.
I like, I've got two on one line as well, because I don't know which book I want to read from this author. Gunslinger, I tried picking up last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of hard to get through. And then the book The Outsider by Stephen King is also on my list, because that one has an HBO Max movie or limited series. So I want to get to, I'm obsessed with like the Stephen King universe right now. I was doing it, Welcome to Derry. So I think I want to do this because the Gunslinger is the Dark Tower series, and it connects all of his books in kind of one universe. So we're going to try it.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm a Stephen King.
Yeah, it's not for you.
No, it's not for me. Nope. I'll just watch the movies. I can't read the books.
Maybe The Outsider, because it is like a creepy psychological thriller type of like crime thriller. I think it's about a child who was abducted and murdered or something like that. I could be misspeaking, but either way, it is more like more reality than like fantasy or horror.
Okay. All right, we'll give it a try. I have on here The Book of Longings by Sue Monk Kidd. I didn't have this one forever, but it is an older book, and it actually came in my book of the month so I could get the book sleep. It looked very interesting, and it's on my list. But I had to put it on there because I'm determined to read it because it just sounds really good.
So my next book is one I've had for a long time, and it's on a lot of people's great lists, called Cloud Cuckoo Land by Anthony Doerr.
Okay.
It's like a fantasy, but it's more in the realm of like, think fantasy books like Narnia or fantasy books like the Golden Compass kind of things. They feel like they fit in that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Very literary. So I do want to read that one this year.
Okay. I have just two more left. I'll just do my two since you have two as well. But I have S.A. Cosby, Razorblade Tears. I am determined to get back into S.A. Cosby.
That's got to go on there.
Yeah, we could do that. Okay. So we'll just make that a book club thing to make sure that I do read it, because I feel like it would definitely win the poll. And then the other one I have, I did briefly message it previously, but If the Mood Happens to Hit, I'm picking up Covenant of Water again, but I have to read it during like summertime-ish. So like I'm thinking May, April, somewhere around there would probably be a better time to read it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My last two are two pretty large fantasies. Strange the Dreamer by Lainey Taylor. It's two books, Strange the Dreamer and Muse of Nightmares. And it is technically YA, but everybody has these on their collections. It's a fantasy staple, so I got to get to that. And then Susanna Clarke, who wrote Piranesi, which is one of my favorite books of all time. She's only written a couple books.
Okay.
Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell is this book. I've had maybe only 6 months or so. I got it at the Goodwill bookstore in pretty decent shape. I did pick that up.
Good.
But I do want to get to that one this year.
Okay. Awesome.
So that wraps up our book lists for this year. However, we do want to do our final piece here, which we're going to call the state of the podcast. And each year when we come into, as you know, each January, the president does the state of the union. And we're going to do the state of the podcast and, and talk about our little passion project, which is somehow more than a year old. It's a year and several months old now. And just want to talk about what we've achieved and where we're going and where we want it to go.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. We started thing in November of 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we were just on Spotify and different things like that. We've since branched over to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really proud to say that we are like this close to 200 subs.
We're almost there.
I couldn't have imagined. I mean, we were at like 18 and then we were in the 30s and then somehow we jumped up to like 80 and we were sitting at 80 for months. And recently we jumped up to 194.
That's awesome.
So we're so close. And I hope to just watch this thing continue to grow steadily.
Oh, it's definitely going to grow because it's something when you can tell that you can tell when something is forced and you can tell when something is natural. And I will say that definitely our podcast, you can just tell, it's just natural to us. We enjoy it. We're just two good friends that grew up together that absolutely love all things books, and we could talk about them all day long. I, however, may not have the best summaries, but I will tell you books to read.
I think
I'm working on the summary part.
That you're passionate about, I think you can talk about it for days. And
absolutely.
I like that. I like that we're different. If we were both like, we only read the same books and blah, who would want to watch that?
No, I will say those definitely do tend to get old because a lot of people are, you know, making podcasts where they're reading the book together and then they're discussing the book. But I mean, that's all you're really getting is that they're just going into these books. But I like that with every single episode that we have, we're actually recommending books and we're telling people what books we like. So if they like a Caleb book or if they like an Ashley book, every episode they're going to come away with at least one book that they're going to absolutely want to read.
Absolutely.
That is a win. That is a win.
We hope to do more like not necessarily live shows. We do live shows every month for the book club, but I don't mind every once in a while a live reading sprint or a hangout or something like that, especially when we burn ourselves out a little bit because we're just going the book club or before the podcast. So we might just do some hangouts and just have like a really non-committal fun time.
I definitely do enjoy when we have the reading sprints because even if you're not reading, you know, you have like the music, the vibes. It's just that you know that you're doing whatever you're doing with friends. And, you know, it doesn't feel like a daunting task because, you know, somebody else is also doing something as well for that time block. I absolutely love it.
And I'm going to jump over one here, but our Discord, we did kick that off last year. It was one of our goals. And it didn't go anywhere until just a couple days ago.
Just literally a couple days ago.
We decided, well, first of all, we figured out how to do stuff on Discord.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to host a watch party for the first couple episodes of His and Hers on Netflix, since it is what we're reading this month for the book club. So We're so excited. We got people jumping over on Discord, and hopefully we'll get more regular interaction on Discord. We may even move where the primary discussions for certain things end up on there, because it is a little difficult on Fable, but what we do have the benefit of on Fable is they put it in their little sections, so you don't get spoiled. So I don't know yet, but Discord has not gone away, and we hope to use it more this year.
Absolutely. Even as far as for our reading sprints. So if we don't want to do like a YouTube live, we can actually use what we couldn't do before, and we can use the reading sprints. You got the music, things like that, to really kind of set the vibe and, you know, make it nice and cozy while you're reading or doing whatever tasks that you need to do, like productivity sprints. I'm looking forward to that. I might even just have to use it because I like the music in there. It was really great.
Yeah. It was really cool. I didn't know that. The Discord's a part of Don't Do That. So it's a little tool. And then lastly, we want to do our readathon again this year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when. We don't know what it's going to look like. But our readathon focuses on our TBRs that we already have, that we already own. And I think that's such a good thing to have a focus on throughout the year. So. Will it be spring cleaning again? I don't know. Will it be backlist bonanzas, something else I'm throwing around so that maybe we do
that sounds cool.
At a different time of the year instead of spring? Mm-hmm. It'll all depend on life and how lifey life gets.
I mean, life gets lifey.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, good.
We made it to the end of this episode, and this one is another long one. Our last episode of last year and our first episode of this year. They get a little long, but
they do, but they're so good and they have so much good stuff in them. And I just hope that, you know, our listeners enjoy listening to these episodes as much as we do creating and crafting them. So
absolutely. Please put down on YouTube or socials or hit us up wherever, wherever you can find us. And just let us know what your anticipated list is this year and see if we can steal some books from you.
Because
we need more books on our TBR and to not get to.
Clearly.
All right. Well, until the next episode, we're going to sign off and say until next time.
Happy reading.
All right. Bye.
Bye.